Greetings to you from your brothers and sisters at Concordia University in St. Paul, Minnesota, and the Oswald Hoffman School of Christian Outreach. We are eagerly waiting the arrival of our new professor of the Endowed Fechner Chair, Dr. Eugene Bunkowski. I understand in a transition from ministry here of 20 years that can be met with mixed emotions. Obviously, we are excited and pleased that the Holy Spirit has led him to accept that call. I suspect that he himself, with his many friends and colleagues here, and many of your students, have somewhat different emotions as well. Perhaps it's a time to remember Genesis 12. This is not the first time someone has moved with a call and God's words to Abraham. Get up from this country and go to a new country, and I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. I know that 20 years ago, Dr. Bunkowski moved from Africa to a new country in Fort Wayne, and the words to Abraham were part of his life: I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. He was blessed here with his family, and he blessed many, including our own director of the Oswald Hoffman School of Christian Outreach, Dr. Paul Mueller, who did his doctorate here under Dr. Bunkowski. And we pray that that blessing continues. As we make a transition in ministry, we always need to go back to the basics, don't we? And we can hardly get more basic than Jesus' words as he prepares to send his disciples out in ministry. Often we focus on only one part of a trilogy there in those verses. We talk about the Great Commission. But the Great Commission alone can be troublesome. It is led in with a great claim. Jesus, all power is given unto me, Jesus Christ, in heaven and in earth. And it's followed by a great promise. The Great Commission stands on a great claim. Jesus has all power. And then it is protected or blessed with the presence of Jesus through all the ages, various cultures, various times, various places. Let's pause momentarily and think of all of those. Jesus comes to us with a great claim. That has to be the basis of all ministry. It's countercultural in this world, isn't it? Because there are all sorts of other powers that compete for our allegiance, and they're as old as Jesus' temptation himself with Satan. Jesus' power overcomes Satan. When Satan comes, I have the power of instant gratification. You have been on a spiritual journey of fasting. Now have a physical, instant gratification of taking these stones and making bread. And Jesus says, I have all power, Satan. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God. God's word is Jesus' power. Satan, of course, does not surrender easily. He takes Jesus into the holy city, the high point, the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, you know, Jesus, how about the power of manipulating God? How about a miracle? Maybe in our culture today, we'd say, how about holy terror, holy war? Jump down, show that you have the power of God. And I promise you, it's in God's word. The angels will pick you up. Jesus has all power even to see through bad theology. And he says, you don't tempt God. You don't tempt God. Jesus has the power to tell us, don't tempt God for those quick and easy spiritual holy displays of manipulating God. But Satan doesn't surrender easily. He takes Jesus to a high mountain, shows him all the glory, all the pleasure of the ancient world. And we often talk about the scandal of places like Pompeii and the cesspool of Rome. I saw a bumper recently that said, if God doesn't do something about the morals of America, he owes Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. Take to the high mountain and look at the pleasures of the United States, the wickedness of the United States, the wickedness of our world. And we can hear Satan's cry, this is power of pleasure. It calls like a siren to the young people of our nation, the power of pleasure, and it calls to all of us. But Jesus has all power. He can say to Satan, worship God and serve only him. Jesus has all power. We know that power, not only over Satan, but also over death. We celebrated that at Easter. Jesus went to people locked in an upper room, locked in a room, afraid of people. And he comes to them and says, "Peace, I have the power to give shalom." And because we're slow learners, the second thing he says is, "Peace. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." That's the Great Commission, isn't it? On Easter Day, Jesus says what he's going to say on that mountaintop. "Go and make disciples." Your beloved professor now coming our way, Gene Bunkowski, started a doctor of ministry class at Irvine where I taught, where your dean of students was one of my students at one time. Anyway, I remember Gene saying, this is not an imperative. And if you look at the Greek, you'll see it is not an imperative. It's a participle, circumstantial participle. It doesn't mean just go to a foreign land. It really means wherever we are, live the gospel imperative. I hope I don't sound irreverent or even blasphemous, but I wonder if today Jesus is almost improving on the commission he gave those first disciples on that Galilean mountain. To them he said, you're going to leave. You're going to have to go. You're going to have to live in the streets and the byways, and people like Paul are even going to go to Rome, take the gospel. With a massive migration in the United States today, Jesus is basically saying, open your doors. They're coming to you. And the major difference, I suspect, here in Indiana, as it certainly is in Minnesota, the migration to the United States, 85% of the masses of people that come do not know that all power is found in Jesus. They're coming from countries with Muslim and shamanistic practices. Jesus is sending them to us and says, now, open your doors. Open your doors and develop patterns of ministry that can, in a winsome way, in a persuasive way, in an evangelical way, say, all power, the power of life and death, the power of forgiveness and grace, is found in Jesus Christ. It's an awesome responsibility. Go and make disciples. On Pentecost, our gospel reading will be those amazing words, it is good that I go away. Jesus, how can it be good? But it is good because he sends each of us now in his name and in his place and is his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to make disciples, to teach, to baptize. That's your calling as members of the body of Christ, and a special calling to you who will be pastors. It's an awesome responsibility. We need institutions like Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Concordia University, St. Paul, Oswald Hoffman School of Christian Outreach. As the Institute's founder or namesake, Dr. Oswald Hoffman, said when it was dedicated, he said, it's a bad name. Like Luther, he wished it hadn't been named for him, but he said, it's a vital cause to share the gospel. And it's a frightening business, isn't it? So with the great claim, all power, and the great commission, make disciples, comes the great promise, I am with you always. I am with you always. We're not lone rangers. We're not doing this on our own. Where two or three are gathered together in God's work, in God's name, in God's mission work, there Christ is with us. May that be your blessing here at Concordia Theological Seminary. And as you leave this place to places like Abraham, distant and sometimes unfamiliar land, and maybe some of you will even come to the land of ice and snow and Megamall, Minnesota, because there are people there who are hungry for God's word, and we have the great claim, the great commission, and the great promise. May this be God's gift to you, your calling, and your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.